Hello, Iowa. How you doing? What a crowd. I see you all the way in the back. Go Irish. Hello. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the chance to spend a little bit of time with you. My name is Pete Buttigieg. I'm the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Some people have trouble saying Buttigieg, so they just call me Mayor Pete.
President
Pete's got a good ring to it, too. Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who I am, what my values are, why I'm doing this, and then I'll make sure to shut up while there's still time for questions so we can have more of a conversation. But I'm running for president because I think our country is running out of time. We cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect it to get better. And the problems that we're dealing with are even bigger than the problems that this president represents. Now, don't get me wrong, this president represents some serious problems. The biggest problem is the president thinks we're all suckers. We've got a country where the gross domestic product is going up and life expectancy is going down. We're in a country where there's going to be 130 million more guns on the streets by 2030, and the average house will cost $500,000. And he wants us to think our biggest problem is political correctness. And his biggest solution is to pass a tax cut for corporations and the wealthiest among us. So we've definitely got problems with this president. But I'm here to argue this president wouldn't be here if we didn't have even bigger problems that motivated a lot of our friends, especially here in the Midwest, to go in and vote to burn the house down. And now the house is on fire, and the real question is, what's next? What are we going to do to get this country on the right track before it's too late? Because we cannot go on with four more years of what we got right now. I'm running for president because it's time to have somebody in the Oval Office who will stick up for American values. And being serious about our values has real implications. Like when I put forward a plan on Medicare for all who want it, that's out of a belief that it is consistent with our values that we make sure everybody in this country can get health care. And it's part of what it means to be free, because if you're not free, if you don't have health care in this country. I also think you're not free if politicians get to tell you what your reproductive health choices are going to be in this country. Or if they get to tell you who to marry based on their idea of their religion. I think if we want real freedom in this country, we're going to have to invest in infrastructure, because you're not free if you can't get a glass of clean, safe drinking water or a good road to get you to where you're going. That's freedom too. This isn't just about freedom from regulations. This is about freedom to live a life you're choosing. And freedom comes by way of things like education, which is why on day one, I will appoint a Secretary of Education who actually believes in public education. My other priority as president will be to keep this country safe. And we got to have a serious talk about national security, because we have an administration right now that actually cut the funds for dealing with violent extremism on our own soil. We all know how that worked out. If you're serious about national security, that means bringing this country together. That means recognizing that the American flag's not a Republican flag. It belongs to all of us. And it means we honor the idea that that flag stands for the idea that in this country you are entitled and indeed obliged to speak up when your leaders are doing wrong, and when you do, nobody's going to question you for your loyalty to the republic for which it stands, let alone tell you to go back to where it came from. I've got an action plan to actually do something about violent extremism in this country by giving Homeland Security the tools that they need and by implementing what just about every American wants, but Washington can't deliver, which is common sense gun safety reform. Yeah. If 94% of Americans want background checks and Washington still can't get it done, that tells you something is broken at the very foundations of our political system, and it's why we got to fix our democracy before it's too late. We want to talk about security. Let's talk about keeping Americans safe from gun violence. Let's talk about keeping Americans safe from climate disruption, which is the security challenge of our time. But we can't keep this country safe if we're not willing to name and defeat the greatest threats of the 21st century. And don't miss this. The 21st century is presenting a completely different set of problems right now, which is not going to get solved with a 17th century solution like putting up a wall on the southern border. It's too late. We got to come up with better ideas. Now, at the end of the day, even though we're living in a divided time and a dark time and a bleak time and a complicated time, I'm filled with hope. That's why I'm running for office. I know hope went out of style for a little bit, but I'm here to make the case that you wouldn't even run for office unless you had some sense of hope that it was worth doing, that we could build the kind of future that we're going to be proud of. That in 2030, we're going to be able to look back and say in 2020, we did what it took. That we actually did what it took to deliver an economy where the rising tide lifts all boats. That we actually did what it took to deliver a climate where we're not afraid of what our future is going to be. That we actually delivered an economy and a society where your race has no bearing on your health or your wealth or your experience of law enforcement. And then I'll be able to tell my kids that once upon a time there was this thing called mass shootings, but we came together and did what it took to make sure that didn't happen all the time anymore in this country. We can do that. We can build a country that we're proud of and a future that we're proud of. But it starts by recognizing that the presidency and the campaign is not about him. And we're not going to win going on his show. Because let's face it, pretty much everybody in our party, at least, would vote for anybody who could beat this president, right? Yeah. But don't let them tell you that we can beat this president saying we're going to go back to normal. Doesn't work that way. There is no back to normal. We got to build a future that's better than the past. And I would say the best way to do that is to begin with leadership that is the opposite of what we got right now. And that's where I come in. I want this to be all monologue. Let's have a conversation. Any questions out there? Yes, sir.
Yes, I listened to your speech a couple of months ago about foreign policy. Mm-hmm. We talked about reentering the Iran nuclear deal and the Paris Accords. Would you also reenter the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Question is about foreign policy, and would we reenter the Trans-Pacific Partnership? I think the time has passed for that, and I don't like the way that it would have overruled the American government's ability and American economy's ability to protect workers and environmental standards. But I also don't think the solution is to close ourselves off against the rest of the world. If we really want to compete with China, let's invest in our own domestic competitiveness. Let's invest in our bridges and our roads and our schools and our health, because they're doing it, and they're going to be running circles around us if we don't keep up. So there's a lot more to this than who's selling more dishwashers or poking them in the eye with tariffs that we know are coming down on the backs of American soy farmers in places like Iowa anyway. That's not a strategy. We want to stay ahead of China. We have to actually engage in the rest of the world. But the thing about that is you can either resent the rest of the world or you can lead the rest of the world, but you cannot do both. I'm ready to have America lead before it's too late. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Will I ride? Well, I can't say no to that. Of course I'll ride the slide with your son. I don't know what it means, but I will do it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. The question is about what we're going to do about cancer. And this is an example of where we got to come together as a country to face a tremendous challenge. Cancer took my father earlier this year. So this is personal, and it's personal for all of us. I'm sorry. We're in the same boat then. I'm sorry. But what we know is that we could be investing more nationally in healthcare, in the battle against cancer. And for those who have a diagnosis, far too many Americans are one cancer diagnosis away from total ruin. Now, we were lucky because my dad was on Medicare. And so we didn't have to worry about whether our family was going to be destroyed financially. We were free to worry about what was right medically for our family. I want every American to have that same freedom, and that's why we got to get coverage for everybody. Thank you. Yes, right here.
Hello.
Wow, yeah, advice for teenagers entering college. What do you want advice about? Anything. All right. Well, one thing you ought to know is that dish soap and hand soap are pretty much the same thing. So in your dorm room, this is very useful. It took me a while to figure that out. Yeah, you're right. That's better advice. I just wanted to give you a little news you can use. Please vote. But more than that, and this is really important, and this is how our organizing is going to work here in Iowa and across the country. I'm sure you got friends that you talk about where the country's headed with, you talk about your futures, but they don't believe that voting matters. They don't believe it's worth it. And they will be more likely to respond to you urging them to get involved than they will be to respond to anybody on television telling them to do it. This is really important. So please, if you care about the future of this country, and the longer you're planning to be here, right, the more you have at stake in whether we figure out student debt, get ahead of the climate change issue, deal with the national debt before it swamps us during more or less your career prime, right? If you care about this stuff, which I know you do, you got to call others to be part of it with you, because our views are popular. It's just that we don't always vote. Change that, and everything else changes with it. Good luck in your studies. Yes, ma'am. How will you protect a woman's right to choose? First of all, I will appoint justices who understand that American freedom includes freedom to make your own reproductive health care decisions. And I will also make sure that we have legislation that responds when states try to act to take that right away. The right to choose could be gone by 2030 if we don't act. I will not let that happen as president. All right, right up here.
You mentioned having an education secretary that's your number one priority. What are your hopes for special education and implementation of IDEA?
Thanks for raising that. So the question is about special education, IDEA, which is legislation that requires that resources go to those with disabilities in our school system, except it's not fully funded, is it?
No.
It's not getting the job done. And so we need to fully fund IDEA. We need to act to get rid of the sub-minimum wage so that we're showing respect for workers and that regardless of ability, you are treated well in our marketplace. And across our system, we got to actually properly fund our public schools so that they have the resources to deal with special education and the basics. This is our future. We're not doing ourselves any favors by going cheap on public education, and it's why that'll be such an important priority for us. Yes, sir.
What about Mitch McConnell?
What about Mitch McConnell is the question. There's so many directions we could take that.
Moscow, Mitch!
So here's the thing I realize. I've worked with a lot of Republicans in my life. And in Indiana, I wouldn't get much done as a Democratic mayor if I didn't know how to work with the Republicans. But in order to work across the aisle, there has to be good faith. And the Senate majority leader is not acting in good faith. You can tell. The fact that he said in 2016... as a matter of principle, you'd never vote on a nominee in an election year. And now he says if it happened in 2020, he'd do it. It means he's not even pretending. So, look, there's two ways to answer this question. The second best answer is that we're going to box them out because our views are popular, and I'm going to fly Air Force One into the home state of any senator who's blocking our agenda to raise wages, to protect health care, to deliver paid family leave, to improve racial equality in this country, things that the American people want done, gun safety. And remind the voters that their senator's not speaking for them. But the very best answer is for Mitch McConnell not to be the majority leader anymore. And it would help to nominate somebody with coattails who comes from the middle of the country and can speak to these concerns in plain English in the course of a presidential campaign so that we bring in a Senate majority with us. And when we do, it will be time to put an end to the filibuster that has gotten in the way in so much good policy in this country. Yes, sir. Question is about criminal justice reform, which we need urgently because for too many Americans, the system is not delivering justice at all. We need to cut incarceration by half in this country, and I got a plan to do it, using clemency powers, working with states, ending incarceration as a response to drug possession. And when we legalize marijuana, which we ought to do, we ought to have expungements as well for people whose incarceration is doing more harm than the original offense did, creating a whole generation of kids who have experienced the incarceration of a parent, which is a devastating experience to have. We also have to put an end to there being people in this country who stand to make money when more of us are incarcerated, which is why we've got to end private prisons. Yes, sir. Election security, this is so important. If you stop and think about it, as powerful as our government is, the reason that the government works for us and the other way around is your vote. It's not your gun. If they take our democracy away from us, by the time anybody reaches for their gun, it's too late. So we have got to secure our elections. Now, there's a bill pending to do just that, and Mitch McConnell killed it. Because they are embarrassed to admit that this is a problem because they benefited from it. This is not one where we can allow politics into it. We have got to secure our elections. Now, there's technological stuff we got to do, but the biggest thing we got to do is use the security toolkit of the country. That means cyber, diplomatic, and economic responses to create such a penalty for ever messing with our elections again that Russia or any other country wouldn't even think of doing it next time around.
What's your plan to ease the burden of student debt in this country and to prevent companies like Wells Fargo from exploiting 18-year-olds and going into $60,000 to $80,000 in debt?
Thank you. Questions about what we're going to do to ease the burden of student debt. This one's personal because Chas and I, between us, are in six-figure student debt as a household. And if we say that education is the pathway to prosperity in this country, we can't allow it to then be crushing you with the burden of debt. It's why I want to expand the public service loan forgiveness program, which gives you credit against your debt for working in public service, but right now it's almost impossible to access. We also have a lot of these for-profit colleges that specialize in going after veterans, and many of which don't deliver. The ones that don't deliver, we should eliminate that debt entirely because they have basically turned the Department of Education into a predatory lender. But we got to make college more affordable on the front end. It's why we need to work with states to bring down the share of tuition. It's why we got to expand Pell Grants. And this time, let's actually link it up to inflation so they don't have to go back to Congress every time. And work to make sure that low and middle income students are able to graduate from college debt-free and get on with their careers. Yes, ma'am. All right, I'll take the second question first. Well, actually, I'll put that to the group at the end. That's about fair food. The other question is about dark money, slightly more heavy topic. This is not a democracy as long as dollars can outvote people. Citizens United was a disaster for this country, and we need reform. There are reforms around dark money that we could do right now. It was part of H.R. 1, passed by the House. Guess what happened? Went to the Senate and died there. That we should implement immediately. But it's also the case that if it's really true that under this Constitution, we can't have common sense campaign finance reform, that's really true, then time for a constitutional amendment to clear this up once and for all, that money is not the same thing as speech and that corporations do not have the same political souls as human beings like you and me. Don't tell me we can't do that. We've had more than 25 constitutional amendments in this country. We had one constitutional amendment in this country so you couldn't buy a beer. And then we changed our mind and changed it back. Don't tell me that we cannot entertain a thoughtful constitutional remedy to secure our democracy so that it actually works for all of us. The other question she had was, what fair food am I about to try? I feel like this is why you're not supposed to go by the polls. You're supposed to lead with conviction. But this does feel like one where I should solicit some input from the crowd. I heard the word pork chop. Like, how many people are on Team Pork Chop? Okay, but if it comes down between a pork chop and a turkey leg, who would go for the turkey leg? Oh, all right. Turkey's in the minority. Got it. Got it. What's that? Craft beer? Sounds pretty good. It's a bit early. I'm still on the clock, you know. Tempting. Somebody said fried Oreo. Is that the right thing to do? All right. Well, I promise to sample as much as I can and offer a thoughtful assessment of the fair food afterwards, because I'm very much looking forward to conducting the research on that regard. I'm getting the kind of impression that our time's about up. All right. If you believe in our vision, I need you to go to PeteForAmerica.com or text Pete to 25859 so we can keep in touch with you. We are building a fantastic team on the ground here in Iowa that wants to get to know you, mobilize our supporters, get the message out far and wide, and with your help, we will not go on his show and play his game. We will change the channel completely. Can I look to you for help in doing that? And I'm so glad I got to see you today. I will see you on the trail. Let's win the era together. Thank you. Thank you. Folks in the back, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.